Hey, it's Johnny Jett. Welcome back to my podcast YouTube channel. Please subscribe. Today we have a very special guest, and he's coming all the way to you from Bangkok, Thailand, Kevin Revelinsky, who is a big-time author, travel writer, and Green Bay Packers fan, if you see his hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you split, or you used to before the pandemic, split your time between Wisconsin and Thailand, correct?
Yeah, I'd get here at least once a year, perhaps twice a year, to visit my wife's family, and you know, we've got a nice community of friends here. So,
and how long have you been doing that for?
Oh boy, 15 years.
Yeah, because you know, I met you. Where did I meet you? Did I meet you?
I think in Curacao, right? 2005.
Okay, maybe. Curacao. But I'm pretty sure I've seen you in Thailand.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, we had dinner in Thailand for sure.
Yeah, Soy 38. Yeah, totally. Yeah. All good.
So Kevin is the man when it comes to Thailand, and the reason why I asked him to come on, besides telling us about you know, all his travels, is that he is currently in quarantine in Bangkok because he's been in the U.S. during the pandemic, and they have some. There it is. Look at that. They have some very strict. Are you? Oh, you're right on the river.
We are on the river. Yeah, not by mistake.
Mandarin Oriental Peninsula. I'm kidding.
No. Montien Riverside. I actually did a hotel review for this place about probably close to 15 years ago, and it was dated then.
And is it updated now, I guess?
It's still dated, but it's nice. I mean, fresh paint and all that, but it looks like an old fashioned hotel, you know, hardwood floors, as opposed to black and white and shiny.
And did you pick that hotel, or do they designate it?
They have a list that are approved for this. And we went through that and looked for something that wasn't too expensive, wasn't too cheap, provided decent enough food, and you know, was a good value. And in the end, we also decided, you know, we better get one of those on the river. There's nicer hotels that are almost the same price, but they would have been surrounded by concrete walls. You know, you'd be looking out at another tower.
I see. So, and by the way, do you mind saying how much it cost, or what the range is from the most expensive to the cheapest ones? What were your options?
Well, first of all, we have a 7-day quarantine, which was available for people with the vaccinations when we applied for our certificate of entry. And that for the 7-day stay, it was about $1,500.
Okay.
And that's including all the meals delivered off of a set menu to your room. But, you know, you do not leave the room.
So you don't. I mean, and so they just changed it too. You just snuck in because just a few days ago, Thailand just changed it back to 14-day, correct?
Yeah, and that's even for vaccinated people as well. So, yeah, we were in the air when that change went through. And if we had arrived later this week, we would have been stuck with it, even though we had planned it being 7. So I'm glad they didn't switch it.
And you would have been stuck with the bill as well, too.
Yeah, right. Would have been a double. So
let's just walk through the process. I know it's confusing to quarantine for a lot of countries, but Thailand particularly. I have another friend who was just doing quarantine, and she was sending me all kinds of tips. She said, you know, to go to different Facebook groups, and they give you. Did you find that helpful as well?
We didn't look at Facebook groups, I guess. We asked friends that were already here, who were, you know, their parents had come through. But that was also getting the Thai perspective of a Thai national coming back in. We didn't know a lot of people who had come in as foreigners. I know I got a little information from one of your contacts as well, too. But we kind of sorted it out ourselves and with the Thai consulate back in the States.
So where's the best place, or where's the first place people should go if they're going to go to Thailand to and have to quarantine?
The consulate. Yeah, because they're updating that you know, daily, or you know, in the middle of my flight it changed. So boom.
So
that information is going to be on the site.
Is that the U.S. Embassy?
In my case.
Okay. Yeah. Or the Thai
consulate. And we used specifically the Chicago office, and then I think we sent a couple questions to the D.C. office as well, just to double check on something.
And there's a lot of different qualifications. I mean, you have to have insurance, and you have to prove the insurance is for COVID too, not just regular travel.
That's insurance. Right. I typically go with World Nomads, and we got a policy, and it says if you're sick, you've got a minimum of 100,000 for your coverage. And they said, well, that's not good enough. It has to be COVID. I'm like, well, COVID is an illness, right? But what we were told by one of the people at the consulates was that in the past, recently, somebody came on an insurance policy, they got sick, and the company said, oh, COVID, no. And they balked, they didn't cover them. And so the government stuck with the bill, and they're like, fine, then we're not trusting anything unless it's in writing, specifically about COVID. And I fired off an email that night and got a reply from the company the next morning, which was startling, to be honest, with a cover letter that would say exactly what my policy was, what I bought, and that it specifically, all the verbiage that the consulate wanted, they gave me.
Well, that's,
So.
you got to give it to the Thai government. That's smart of them
Sure.
to say that. So, and by the way, is that insurance expensive?
For the two of us, and we're staying here for about 35 days, I think that was 200 and let's say 250 for two of us for over a month.
Wow,
I
that's
mean, that's
incredible.
nothing.
That's
And
incredible. I was
that's the
expecting a lot
normal
more.
price. You know,
Is
it's
it?
not a a bump up because, oh, well, COVID, we're gonna, give a little extra charge here, but no, that's their typical rate.
Wow. So you flew from Green Bay to Chicago, Tokyo?
We took a bus from Madison to Chicago,
How
and
long does
then
that how long does that take?
it's a just about 3 hours, and it's about $31 one way. And
Greyhound?
it takes you it's a local company. Well, it's now Coach USA.
Okay.
Used to be Van Gelder. And it takes you right to the terminals, drops you off, and picks you up there as well on the way back. And they, because of COVID, they have tickets that are not tied to a particular date. So you can buy a ticket, a round trip ticket, and it's good for about a year. So,
But are you guaranteed a seat, and was it crowded?
it was not crowded. I've never run into this problem. I have seen it in the past before COVID, where they had so many people going that they ordered up a second bus to run that route.
Wow.
And they were pretty good about that. I don't know how often that happens. I've only seen it happen once.
Okay.
There's always been room on those buses. And they're great, really easy service.
And people are wearing
So,
masks, I assume.
yes.
And
The,
how about in Chicago?
when we got to the airport, it was empty. I mean, it was really a shocker to see that, especially in the middle of the day. This was on a Wednesday at about noon.
Uh-oh.
And we got to the counter. There was nobody behind us. We went through all the documents because they check you before you get on the plane. This wasn't the airlines checking. They're checking for the Thai government because they'll be on the hook. If you get there, you're not qualified. They have to fly you back, as I understand it. So they go through all the documents, make sure you got it in order. Then they check you in and you go through security. And it was just a breeze. There was nobody in the TSA line. Nobody.
And were they strict with checking the documents?
Yes. Yeah. They had you had to have everything in order because without, say, the COVID test within 72 hours, you're going to get rejected or
Right.
something's going to happen that's going to be uncomfortable when you get there, maybe an extended COVID stay. So
And then you flew again. Then you flew to Tokyo, and how was that? Were there a lot of people on the flight? It couldn't
34. 34 people
be.
on the flight. It was
That's a dream.
absolutely incredible. It was a dream. And it's kind of the reason we rushed this trip. Well, partly we expected there might be a change. There might be a surge and then they're going to cut it off and then we miss our chance and it's fall or it's next year. So we were in a hurry to get on there. And we also figured there'd be fewer people. I have friends who are traveling around the States and they've gotten rid of those empty seats and you're just jam-packed in there. And even with a vaccination, that just makes me feel a little uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable even without a pandemic. So,
Right.
we wanted to get on that plane, and we didn't think it'd be 34 though. 34 to Tokyo, and
Was
that's
that?
including transfers. They're not just going to Japan; they're going on to a whole bunch of places from Narita, and we just had 34.
Was that ANA or United?
It
JAL?
was, yeah, it was JAL. It was JAL, and we got it via ANA with Air Miles. So that was just incredible. So
And how
we
much was
always
that?
do
How much is that ticket, by the way?
that. Norm, well, during this time, money-wise, it would have been about $1,500. like the hotel, but it was $150 in taxes and 150,000 air miles for the two of us round trip.
And you flew coach, but you had like a first class experience.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. We just laid out across the seats in the middle. It was empty all around. It was quite nice.
And when it's
Japan Airlines, very meticulous too. So that's comforting.
Without a doubt. I mean, when I flew JAL, I flew on multiple times. You know, they'd clean the bathroom after each use, especially in business class.
Yeah.
But even in coach, they would clean the bathrooms every hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Really outstanding stuff.
And were they strict with wearing a mask, even though there was not many people on the plane?
Yeah. I want to say, not really. I mean, there was one person. There's always one person. But the person is far away. And you know, the trouble with this situation is you can't come to somebody and say, hey, you need to put a mask on, because they can hold up their drink and say, oh, but I'm drinking a beverage. So you've got that, you know, gray area. So, but for everyone else was pretty serious about it. The people that I could see, you know, they'd eat and immediately put it back on.
Right. What kind of mask did you wear? Just a regular medical mask, or did you have a special one?
I've got since the very beginning, you know, we took the mask thing seriously because of all my time in Asia. We know that these things work and it was important. So over a year ago, I was already wearing a N95 that I had left over from some projects, and with a cloth mask over it. So it holds it in place a bit, and it gives me something I can wash on the outside as well. So
okay,
double masking. I've been doing it for a year, so kind of used to it.
And it can't be too comfortable. N95 is not too much, especially on a long flight.
It was okay for me. Because it didn't have the rubber band that was really, you know, putting the imprint on your face. But I was ready to take it off by the end of the trip, let's say.
How long is that flight? 13 hours?
It's 13 to Tokyo and about another 6 then to Bangkok.
And how was it?
Two and a half overlay.
How was it in Tokyo when you arrived?
Very organized. As always, people waiting at the gate with instructions, greeting you, you know, go this way, go that way, get you through, you know, security again, wait by the gate.
And did they not check, busy. And they check your documents again for Thailand, to get into Thailand?
They did not, no. At that point, you were checked into the system, so.
Okay. And can you shop? Were the shops open or restaurants?
They were closing as we got there. In fact, we did grab some things from a duty-free shop, but they were starting to slide the doors shut. But of course they wait for you because, you know, they're polite.
Was it late at night, or?
It was only about 6 p.m. I would say.
Okay. Wow. So they're closing not up early. Even.
Yeah, they are closing. And you could see some that are perhaps permanently closed or long-term closed. It was 4 o'clock. I'm sorry. 4 o'clock.
So if you didn't know what was going on in the world and you've been asleep for the last year and you woke up in that Tokyo airport, Narita airport, would you know there's something going on, or would it just feel like any normal day?
You'd suspect, like, why aren't there more people? And of course, obviously the masks, but you know, a lot of stuff in Japan and even in Asia in general is already designed for, hey, what if there's bird flu? We need to have, you know, touchless everything, and there's a health check as you go through the hall, maybe the heat scanner for your head. They've been doing that for years. So those booths are not new. They're standing there, and they've got COVID information specifically now. But in the past, they had, you know, little diagrams and translations in English of, you know, do you have a fever? Do you feel this? Do you feel that? Right. Tell somebody, you know. So in a sense, it's only a little bit different.
And how about arrival in Bangkok? You must have arrived around midnight.
Oh, man. We arrived around 11, and that was very, very different from the normal.
It's usually packed. We get off.
It is packed still, even though that there's only a couple of flights that just arrived about the same time, and there was another one on the other side. And they stopped us mid-terminal in a place where there was a health check and where they checked all your documents. And they had chairs set up along either side of the central walkway, the moving sidewalk. And they were spread out, spaced for people. And you sat down with your documents in hand, and an attendant or a nurse would come around, take them from you, go through them, take them somewhere. They would get stamped, checked. I don't know what. They'd come back, give you a little tag that said that you were one of the quarantine people. And we waited a long time, maybe 45 minutes before we actually got up out of those chairs and walked past a nurse who checked our temperature. Someone stamps another document, shuffles papers. You go to another person, goes through all of them, stamps. You wait in a group of 10. They walk you to immigration. Now you're only just now getting to the immigration part. Again, somebody checks your forms, writes a number. I didn't have an address written down on my immigration card for after the quarantine. So they questioned me about that. And I had to go over to the side to talk to somebody about that, wrote that in, and then went to clear immigration, get the luggage, meet the representative from the hotel, and be taken to the curb where there's, you know, we'd find our van that was driven by somebody from the hospital, because every hotel has got a partner hospital that provides, you know, the people that are doing all the checks on site. And that person drove us to the hotel where we put on baggies on our shoes and got out of the car and got the rundown of how things would work. We'd have to take our temperature twice a day, take a photo of it and send it to them via Line, the app, twice a day. And then there'd be on day 5, a COVID check. That'll be today for us. At that time, we thought that if we get the COVID check and it's clear, it's still negative, that they'd allow us some time to possibly go to the pool and do some outside stuff. But that deal's off.
Is it?
Yeah, they're being stricter now. And I'm not, you know, sure how much that was on the table to begin with. But then after 7 days, we check out with a certificate that says we're clean. But
and you're free to go.
Yeah.
So how long did it take once you landed in BKK? How long did it take to get into the van?
I would say just about an hour and a half.
Okay, so it's not that bad. I mean, that's what it sometimes.
No, not terrible. I've heard that. Yeah, yeah. That's almost normal some days. Yeah. If there's like a bunch of flights arriving at once, that can definitely happen.
Definitely.
So, and one of the reasons we were so delayed, even though there were only the two planes, I found out later, and if you didn't know this, looking at the situation, it became very frustrating because nobody was getting up and going past that nurse. We were all just told to sit and wait. And you're looking at a bunch of people sitting around doing absolutely nothing. You think, oh, this is unorganized. I'm angry, especially after the long flights. What was happening was the Thai nationals have a different quarantine protocol, and they get to stay at hotels that are actually paid for by the government. So if they're coming home, they don't get stuck with a $1,500 bill.
Right.
And they separated them off of our plane, off of other planes, and they all were processed at the same time and taken through immigration. And once they cleared immigration, then, yeah, you know, sight unseen, of course, by us sitting there looking at nobody moving. Once they cleared through immigration, then we were allowed to be processed in the same way.
So if your wife was by herself, would she be able to do that? Or
that's right. Yeah, she would have been able to.
It's just because of you. Through.
Yeah, it's all because of me.
Yeah, man.
She's laughing at me now.
He's expensive.
Yeah.
usually they say it's the wives that are expensive. It's the husbands. So what's it like? I mean, 7 days in a hotel room, I mean, with your wife is got to be is much better, but.
Well, depends on the couple, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. and I was going to say that also, but you know, at least you have someone to talk to, but.
For sure. And we've been quarantined together. She's been working from home as I have for the last year. So we get along fine in small spaces, which is a good thing. Otherwise it would be, and this is a double sized room. I mean, compared, like I said, it's dated. Well, they used to make rooms bigger back then because they didn't, I don't know, think that they needed to make them as small as possible to maximize the profit. I don't know, but it's very nice and spacious and we got a beautiful view. And, nevertheless, I'm on day 5 and I just feel really trapped. Even though, how is this different from home? I guess I can't go out for a walk.
Right.
Those little things that you know that you could get out and at least stand under a tree for 5 minutes and go back in or take the trash out to the dumpster, what have you. We don't have any of that. And despite the amazing view that we have, it's there's still that.
And windows don't, I assume the windows don't open. It's Thailand. It's so hot out there. And
it's got the kind that used to open. So, which again tells you how dated, but it's sealed shut with the caulk and such. But
and by the way, isn't April the hottest month in Thailand? Normally,
yeah,
it's now May, but just
It's still pretty, it's like low 90s, and it rains pretty regularly each day. So it's hot out there, but we've got some potent air con.
That's so good. And so the air conditioning works great, I guess.
It does.
And how's the food? And did they just leave it at the door, knock and leave it, or?
Essentially, yeah. They put it on a big cafeteria style tray, and they, it's ring the bell and run. And we pull it in and eat and leave the dirty dishes out on the table again. The food's been pretty good. We mostly take the Thai selections, of course.
And, so you get to pick every day, or?
Yeah. Each day has a different set menu.
So give me an example of one day.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Is it chicken? Is it fish?
Chicken, pork, some kind of curry, maybe a lot of fresh fruit. We always have fresh papaya sliced up, and pineapple and watermelon.
Mangosteen, my favorite fruit of all time.
Hasn't shown up yet. Too much work to process, maybe.
I love mangosteen.
Me too.
Rambutans.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if they've ever made pie out of that. I thought it would make a really good pie, a mangosteen pie, but well, anyways. The Western stuff is, not so good, which you might expect, but it's all been fine. Yeah.
So what's your best advice for anyone that's considering going to Thailand or needs to go to Thailand?
Well, if you need to, I think honestly, I'd recommend this place just because if you're worried about price, it's fair, a little bit less expensive, but it's not one of those really small places. You can go cheaper, but I think you'll regret it. And the location is huge. If that's all you've got is access to this one window, make it on the river.
Does every room have that? Did you have to request that, or was that just a luck of the draw?
We did request that, but it seems to me we didn't get a good look at the hotel, to be honest. But as we approached on this floor, you can see that all the rooms are on this side. Okay. So it seems like all the rooms, or at least a vast majority of them, do have river views.
Okay, cool.
And Riverside is in the name, so I think that's...
And I assume everyone in the hotel is quarantining? Is everyone in the hotel quarantining? I think
you're going out in a second. Yeah. Okay, go ahead again. Sorry.
No, is everyone in the hotel quarantining, or are there some hotel guests, like tourists?
We're not sure. I think everyone's quarantining here.
I bet.
It's weird to not see. There's people out there. You can hear noises occasionally. You're like, I think that's another guest leaving. We don't know. It's like prison in a sense.
Yeah. I interviewed one of my buddies who moved to New Zealand, and they did the quarantine. And fortunately, in New Zealand, they can go out and take a walk around the hotel. They have a little path. But Australia, you cannot. I also interviewed someone about Australia. You cannot leave the room in Australia. They have someone outside the door guarding it, basically, the hallway.
I think we do, too. Around the corner, there's somebody sitting at a desk there.
Yeah.
And I think in the past, and in some hotels, they do have moments that people can go in isolation to the pool or whatever, or they did. Now they're getting very serious because the cases are exploding here after a year of really having them under control. They didn't even have 100 deaths in the entire year, and now they've more than doubled that just in the last 2-3 weeks in the cases. It's just, it only takes one small group of people to break the rules and screw up, and then bring it back into the larger society, and everything has to go shut down. Restaurants are closed.
So restaurants are closed. Attractions, I assume. Okay. Yeah. So you do not want to be going to Thailand right now.
I don't think so. Not right now. But again, that could change by the end of the month if they get it back under control. I know that we'd received an ad that Phuket was opening July 1st, that you could fly in directly and avoid going through Bangkok,
Right. I saw that.
Maybe that's where I saw it. Maybe you sent it to me.
I assume that's on the table now since things are not doing great in Thailand, but let's hope.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
I mean, you just never know.
You don't. You really don't. It's a lot of question marks here. Even going home, I'm a little worried about, we have to get our test to go back in to get on that plane. So anything can happen, right?
Right. So. Well, I mean, the U.S. was doing terrible, and now we're doing great.
We're getting the shots, but then if people stop getting the shots,
I know.
Question marks again.
I worry about that. But anyway, I don't want to take any more of your time. I appreciate you. Where can people find you, by the way, if they want to follow you? Are you posting pictures? Or, I mean, there's not a lot of stuff to post right now, but.
Well, I'm getting a lot of pictures off this river. There's always something going on down there. It's kind of awesome. But KevinRevelinski.com or themadtraveler.com, both those sites will lead back to me in Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
And are you posting pictures of the food every day or anything like that? Because you should be if you're not.
Tips, food, and travel is posting the food pictures. My wife is, but they get onto my feed as well, some of them. Okay. After about 20 food pictures, you're like, okay.
Well,
but
I can't wait to get back to Thailand. It's one of my favorite countries. I'm wearing a shirt I bought in Thailand. It has planes on it. It cost me like $8. I bought four of them. And I love it there. So
yeah, it's kind of tragic that I don't know if we're going to get any shopping in, but
right.
I don't know. Once I get out there,
at least you get to see your in-laws, and I wish you guys the best, and thank you for taking the time. There it is, everyone.
And the plug for the book,
please.
Just had to slip one in there.
Slip it. Bring it a little closer.
And this was the COVID project. I mean, when I I'm a travel writer by trade, and I didn't have a lot of travels in the last year, obviously. So, and people weren't buying those articles, so I sat down and kicked out a book of short stories, fiction. Half of them set in the Midwest, half of them set in a lot of places that I've gone to around the world. So.
And you lived around the world, I mean.
I have, yeah. Turkey, Guatemala, Panama, Italy, Thailand, of course. But yeah, it's been a good journey.
you're the man. That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, I think you're the man, but whatever.
Well, I appreciate it. And again, thank you for taking the time, and I'll get this up right away. So please leave your comments and subscribe to this channel and my newsletter and anything that Kevin has. All right. Take care, buddy.
Hey, good talking to you.
You too. Thank you.